T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is currently 9:39, 21 minutes before 10 o'clock on this Monday, September 27th, day 29th of the Ida recovery. And of course, NGOs are an important part of any recovery after a storm. We know that, having lived through it here. And we're joined now by the newly appointed Marcus Coleman, Director of the Department of Homeland Security Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Good morning, Mr. Coleman. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you? Thank you very much for having me today.
I'm great, and I appreciate you taking the time with us. Tell us about this organization, the Department of Homeland Security Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships.
Absolutely. I'm happy to. So we were actually founded by executive order by the George W. Bush administration as a consequence and an outcome from some of the challenges we've seen after Hurricane Katrina. What we know, to your opening, faith-based and community-based organizations are an incredibly critical partner. And at the time, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of coordination, communication, collaboration and cooperation between what we were doing from the government perspective and some of the work of those groups. We know Salvation Army, Southern Baptist, Samaritan's Purse, as well as many others are doing a lot of work. And of course, the Cajun Navy, life-saving, life-sustaining work. And so our office was established via executive order to work with those groups and others to ensure that in times like this, we stay connected and hopefully work together across the community to help disaster survivors.
Is part of this making sure that you're ready for the next one? And I don't mean to conflate you or put you against FEMA at all in any way, conflate you with or put you against them. But it seems as though sometimes we wind up reinventing the wheel every time. I guess part of your idea is to have this mechanism in place so that we know, while each disaster is separate and distinct, there are some commonalities between them so that there are some certain things that you can kind of go back to over and over again?
Absolutely. So my office, while the title speaks to the Department of Homeland Security, my office sits in the office of the FEMA administrator, Deanne Criswell. So we are lockstep with her direction to help people before, during, and after disasters. And to address your question specifically, yes, we are very focused on what we do before these type of incidents strike. I will say for Hurricane Ida pre-landfall, we were talking to organizations like the Louisiana Urban League, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, several other major faith-based and community-based organizations, not just nationally, but then some of the community and advocacy groups as well, to ensure that they were getting good information and also giving us some ground truth, because we know from where I sit, oftentimes I can look at the headlines, I can look at the news stories, but if I'm not talking to the people, we're not connected with ground truth. And so we do believe in preparedness and the power of preparedness, and we support our states and our locals that do that effort as well. I want to give a big compliment to NOLA Ready and to the state of Louisiana for all of their continued work. One thing that I'm clear about, Tommy, is when we talk about partnerships, we also know that that often means partnerships and accountability. And one of the ways that I plan to continue to lead my team in support of the FEMA administrator is make sure we're accountable to continue to address some of the recovery challenges here, but not lose sight of the fact that we do need to prepare for continued storms. Of course, we still have plenty of hurricane season in front of us, unfortunately.
I have spoken a lot to Nick Hunter, the mayor of Lake Charles, over the last year because they feel as though they've been forgotten. Have you guys been active there a lot, Marcus?
Yes, and so, of course, our entire FEMA team is still active in the area, and my predecessor, who was the former director under the prior administration, was active in the Lake Charles area as well. We'll be meeting today with faith leaders from across the state, including some pastors that reside and lead in Lake Charles, mm-hmm. To talk about how we continue to address some of the challenges for recovery across the state. I think, of course, as most people from the outside, they just see one big storm and they think that that's it. But we know that for many of our pastors, our faith leaders, and our people in the state of Louisiana, there's compounding challenges because, unfortunately, this isn't the only storm that's occurred. And we know that people have questions about some of the long-term recovery efforts across the state. So we're looking forward to that meeting today that has been held. Compliments of the governor's office. They've been able to pull some immediate faith leaders together, and we've been in touch with I've been on the ground for a few days now, and I've been able to talk with faith leaders and community leaders from Reserve, Louisiana. We have some folks out in Houma today as well, and a few other key locations alongside organizations like Catholic Charities and others, again, to make sure that we are hearing from people about how we can remove some of these impediments and barriers and we're appropriate to address some of these myths and rumors about what is and is not available as it relates to FEMA support to the state to provide people disaster assistance.
Would it be accurate to say that maybe faith-based organizations and NGOs are speedboats and FEMA is an aircraft carrier in terms of mobility and getting things done quickly and so forth? And I'm not trying to knock FEMA. I'm just talking about the difference between the two.
No, you know what? You hit it, man. Listen, faith-based, community-based organizations, they're going to move much faster. They're going to be more nimble, and it's the reason why we want to do the best that we can to support them because they are true leaders of the recovery. And unfortunately, as you well know, once the national media leaves, they are still the ones that are here that are leading. And unfortunately, when we aren't able to get to folks, right, it's those quiet moments that they're going to be there for them. So it is very important that we support those leaders. I appreciate the analogy. You are absolutely right in terms of just the nimbleness, the speed, and the depth that they can encourage. And the best that we should do is continue to support them and also listen to what some of their challenges are. And don't leave them in a position, right, where their phones are reeking and their emails are long and they aren't able to give good, clear answers. Maybe because, right, they don't have time to sit through emails. So that's a big part of the reason why I'm here is trying to make sure that we can help streamline some of those communication channels. So for that pastor, that leader, that rabbi, that imam, that priest, they're able to do what they do best, which is help people in the immediate while we at FEMA continue to support our state partners and work alongside our state partners to help meet some of the long-term needs. I appreciate that question.
Do you coordinate in terms of the faith-based organizations so that there's not duplicity here or this can be done more efficiently there, and you let them know? I would imagine it's a two-way street, and communication is immediately important. They let you know where the needs are, and maybe you let them know where their services can best be used.
Yes, we do. We try our best. As you know, with some events, the scope and scale, there may be some overlap or some duplication of benefits, but we are thankful there's an organization, a collection of organizations, so we have long-term recovery groups across the state, many of whom were actually stood up after Hurricane Katrina. But we also have the Louisiana Voluntary Organizations active in disasters. That is the place where we plug in with many of our disaster relief organizations and those organizations that are meeting everyday emergencies to do exactly what you're talking about in terms of reducing duplication of effort, making sure, right, so we know Southern Baptists are great with chainsaws. They're doing feeding. They're doing other things. The Red Cross does sheltering. Different organizations may be doing other pop-up things. You have individual churches across the state that may be doing their own thing, and we want to make sure that we are coordinating at the tables where they communicate, so that way when we're talking about government resources and government information, we can help complement where we can as they're continuing to lead in their direction and where we need to stay out of the way and just provide good information to make sure that they can do what they need to do. We want to be sure to do that too. So, the convening tables that I've been with include the Louisiana Voluntary Organizations active in disasters, like I mentioned, also some organizations that are focused on equity. We have a few community advocacy organizations that very much have been interested in connecting with us as well, and we've done our best to try to make those connections again alongside our state partners. We can't do this at our best. FEMA is going to be supporting states and supporting parish presidents and supporting local communities and local mayors. So if we aren't doing our job to make sure that we aren't getting connected through the state to make sure that those faith leaders are getting good information, I'm not doing my job well. So that's something that I'm continuing to commit to do.
We're talking to Marcus Coleman, director of the Department of Homeland Security Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. When it comes to, like you're saying, after the media leaves, and that's really when, you know, it can be the hardest in a lot of different cases. How long do you guys stay around in terms of, you know, helping people that are without means maybe and can't meet the deductible, getting the walls put back up or getting the house gutted, first of all, getting the walls put back up, painted, et cetera, et cetera?
FEMA's footprint, to my knowledge, I've been in and around this work for several years, and FEMA's been here for all of the disasters, and our office is in continued support of our federal coordinating officer, Mr. John Long, and Ms. Sandy Esslinger. And so we, in many ways, FEMA has not left. I think to one of the questions that I think you are asking, which is important, is how can we continue to move forward together when we do have more blue skies than gray, to make sure that we're getting back on the front end of some of the preparedness mechanisms and making sure that that connection's in place. So when the storm does come, we're a little bit better the next time around. But yes, I've been able to speak with all of my FEMA leadership. Many of them are continuing to support all of the disasters across the state. And in many ways, we haven't left. And I don't know if many of your listeners know this. We actually have a member of the FEMA team that is integrated with the state emergency management, so with GOSEP. And their primary responsibility is to ensure that there is continuous connectivity between FEMA and the state year-round and across all of the different areas. And so that's one way that we've tried to lean forward as an agency to ensure that we don't lose that connectivity, not just with our state partners, but with the whole community of the NGOs, FBOs, and private sector partners as well.
I appreciate your time, and I hope we talk to you again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Marcus Coleman, Director of the Department of Homeland Security, Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. A quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Newell Norman, see what he's got planned for us today here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.